I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Whoa! The idea of choices makes me want to go, yeah! Whoa! It feels like we haven't had choices, or I haven't had choices. I'll speak for me. I won't speak for you. It feels like I haven't had very many choices over the last 2 months. And I look forward to the day when those choices are presented to me again. I don't know how many of you feel the same. I want so desperately to be back at CBS Sports Radio headquarters. I've petitioned my bosses more than once. For now, the answer is a steadfast no. I'm going to keep asking. And as I get ready to move into a new home where there is no carpet anywhere, oh my goodness, I was walking through the house on Monday afternoon and I was showing a couple of friends and everything I say echoes and bounces off the walls. The only place where there isn't an echo is in the closet. Coming up in 3 weeks, I could be doing my national radio show from a damn closet. Like, that's not what I want to be doing. I'm thankful to still have a job, but this is not what I signed up for. And so I look forward to the day when I have the option of actually doing a radio show from a radio studio. Not everybody wants to go back to work. In fact, our company is so thrilled with how everything is going with people working from home that they think we should stay this way. And thus the petition to my bosses that it's actually not going as well as you might think. So I look forward to the day when we have choices, but I also recognize that not everyone is going to make the same choice as I am. I've got friends, I've got family members who like working from home and don't care whether or not they ever go back to the office. My brother's been working from home for years and he doesn't have any desire to go to an office. But my sister-in-law hates being at home and working, and so she's considered essential personnel. She's an HR director of a company, and so she goes in, even though there's nobody else there, she goes into the office a couple days a week just because she feels like she's more productive and she can get out of the house. I know in families all across the country, many of you who are listening, you're in the same boat. Now, some of you are essential and you've continued to work. Others of you are completely out of that essential routine and you've not been able to work. Every single day I get tweets or Facebook messages. Either I'm going back to work, I can't wait to hear you again, or I'm going back to work, I'm not going to be able to hear you anymore, or the opposite. I've been out of work, I've been listening. I'm hoping to go back to work. And I celebrate with you when you have the chance to go back to work. I absolutely do. Because I will feel the same way when it's my turn to go back to the office. When it comes to sports, which in this case is a microcosm of real life, it's a delicate balancing act. The same decision that companies have to make around the country. When do we allow our peeps to come back to the office? Sure, there's going to be risk involved. You balance the risk with the productivity. You balance the risk with us with this idea of another outbreak or another flare-up that could shut us down again. That's worst-case scenario, at least in my opinion. Pro sports leagues are in a very similar boat. as various states around the country move forward through the phases of reopening. They want to get their economies restarted. We know there are states around the country that are inviting pro sports leagues to reopen their facilities and to use the facilities that are in their various states and cities. Florida, Arizona, New York, California, Texas. They want in on the revenue. They don't want to lose their pro sports teams to another state, to another region. That should right there tell you how important the revenue of sports is to a state's economy. And so these pro sports leagues, most of whom are right now game planning for events without fans, at some point will have the option. Limited capacity, maybe half capacity. Maybe in 2020, the option will be given in some places for full capacity. Green light, go for it. But sports leagues will have to balance the risk versus the reward. The reward is, of course, welcoming fans back, having the revenue of a sold-out stadium and sold-out events. Also, the reward of the atmosphere, the excitement. Yes, it definitely will be noticed on TV if there are no fans and no noise on site at the location. That's why Fox is planning on pumping in crowd noise, planning on putting virtual fans in the stands, because they think it'll be so jarring without it that they are worried about the quality of their broadcast. But again, these sports leagues, once given the option, will have to decide, is it worth the risk of allowing fans back in, knowing that mass gatherings might result in another virus flare-up or a hotspot, which could then threaten sports to shut down a second time. Again, worst case scenario in the eyes of the sports world. They've worked so hard, they've waited so long, they've come up with umpteen million plans to get back on the field, the court, the ice. If the fans get back in the arenas or the ballparks or the stadiums, and maybe it's not even their stadium that is the source of the outbreak. Maybe it's not even their city or their state. But if there is an outbreak again, there's a chance sports could be forced into hibernation all over again. That's the risk versus reward. And that's where the decisions of the leagues will come in. And that's where I'm asking you. Should we have the choice? Should pro sports leagues say, you know what? If you want to come to the stadium, come to the stadium. If you want to come to the ballpark, come to the ballpark. We're going to allow you to make the choice instead of making it for you. If you want to go, go. If you want to stay home, we'll miss you. But we also put the games on TV so you can watch from home. There are some people who don't like crowds. There are some people who think it's too expensive to go to games. There are all kinds of reasons why people don't go to sporting events. The virus could be another one. But for fans who are willing to pay and willing to deal with the crowds, and are willing to take the risk that there could be someone with the virus in the stadium, should they be allowed to go? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's good to have you on board. Coming up at the top of next hour, so about 55 minutes from now, Super Bowl champion Brian McFadden, who's now with CBS Sports HQ, played with the Steelers during his time in the NFL. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's our Twizzler Tuesday question. A lot of you have strong opinions, which I appreciate. I only ask that you are respectful of other people who have strong opinions. When it comes to sports, how do you feel about allowing adults to make their own decisions about when and where to attend? And I appreciate Barrett Salee of CBS Sports HQ for kind of planting this idea. As he said, I don't see what the big deal is. It's his opinion. Adults should be allowed to choose. If they want to go to sporting events, they can go. they don't want to go, they can stay home. Again, Twitter or Facebook, and then 855-212-4227. It was interesting to hear Aaron Donald talk about no fans in the stands because it reminded me of what LeBron James had said going back to, I think it was early March, maybe late February, early March, obviously before the NBA became the first to suspend its season. He was talking about playing without fans. I ain't going to play without any fans. I've never played without fans in my life. Well, when it comes to playing without fans or not playing with all, at all, certainly an athlete's tune will change. And now here is Aaron Donald kind of echoing those same sentiments that LeBron had before the NBA went into hibernation.
You practice and practice is practice, and then you prepare to play a game and be on a big stage and play in front of a crowd of fans. I feel like I kind of, without no fans, I don't even see how that can be possible. Just from my point of view, it's just no excitement. It's just, it wouldn't be fun to me.
He says it wouldn't be fun for me. Well, you know what else wouldn't be fun? Not playing at all. In my opinion, I'm not Aaron Donald, but in my opinion, not playing at all wouldn't be any fun. And that's kind of what I come back to. I would like to go see the Denver Broncos, the team that I've been a fan of since I was age 13, before I had any idea what the rules of football were. I just thought it was really exciting. In fact, my sweet Ellie Cat, who I bid farewell to on Saturday, she's named after John Elway. John Elway and his fourth quarter comebacks got me hooked on football when I was a teenager. So, with the option of going to games presented to me, I would. I mean, I don't attend a lot of games because it's harder for me to cover the entire landscape. But it's harder for me to cover an NFL Sunday when I'm at one game versus sitting at home with my laptop, multiple TVs, or radio, being able to cover all the games all the time. But I would like to be able to see the Broncos when they're at MetLife Stadium in the 2020 season. I would like to have the option. But there's this little voice in the back of my head that says, huh, not being able to go to a game in person, that's bad. Not having any games at all, that's way freaking worse. And so it's a tough call. It's a real tough call. Coming up, we'll do a little QB news. The Green Bay offensive coordinator is telling us that Jordan Love needs to prepare as a starter for the Packers. He'll explain. I can see that clickbait popping up on social media, creating a ruckus. Brian Schottenheimer, offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks. He's adjusting to virtual life. He's now an expert, he says. But also, he had some interesting comments about the progression and the evolution of Russell Wilson, who was one of the guest celebrities on the Match 2 broadcast. I still am smiling over Peyton and Tom Brady and Phil and Tiger and how much fun that was. The greatest quarterback of all time who holes out from the fairway at 150 yards and tells Charles Barkley to suck on that chuck and then ends up with his pants split right down the butt crack. pride goeth before a stumble. I mean, it happens to the best of us, right? Actually, I've never split my pants on a golf course, but I have, of course, split my pants doing other things. I mean, who hasn't in their lifetime, split their pants doing something ridiculous? For me, it was playing some game in Cuba with the kids. Oh my gosh, crazy. So, anyway, we'll do some QB news coming up. Kurt Warner and Carson Palmer, both with some advice / strong words, strong compliments for Joe Burrow, the new quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You may remember David Robinson, the Admiral, He's a graduate of the Naval Academy and served. And on Monday, he was a guest with Ernie Johnson on this video podcast. Can it be a podcast and be a video podcast? Would that be a vlog? Chris, what do I call a video podcast? Or is it still a podcast?
It's still a podcast. A vlog is something completely different.
What is it?
A vlog is like a YouTube channel where people do dedicated videos to content about their life or something like that. It's not it's not necessarily a podcast.
I thought it was a video blog.
That's the technical name for it, but then we start parsing details and we get into nuances, and technically they're two separate things.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, can a podcast also be video? I wasn't sure about that. Is a podcast just audio, or can it be video?
Our very own Pat McAfee
does a video podcast?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So David Robinson was with Ernie Johnson on this NBA video podcast. Ernie's been welcoming some really amazing guests. And of course, he is widely respected throughout the NBA and broadcasting communities. And I appreciated what David Robinson, the Admiral, had to say about Memorial Day.
We obviously know up close what it means to lay your life down for your country. And I'm so thankful for people who have made that commitment and people who have even gone to the point of costing their lives for us. And that's a sacrifice that no one could ever thank you enough for. You just try to, you know, all we can do is live a good life and try to, you know, help each other and encourage each other and give back. And that's so Memorial Day, I think, it's a good day for us to remember those things and remember how blessed we are and kind of pass that kindness, that love on.
I appreciate him so much. I just have always enjoyed watching him play, but his character and the fact that he went to the Naval Academy, he did not take an easy route. He could have played anywhere, but he was committed. Just an amazing man. And of course, a major staple for Greg Popovich earlier, you know, in his coaching tenure, and then kind of handing off the baton to Tim Duncan. And that was also kind of fun to hear David Robinson talk to Ernie Johnson about his relationship with Tim Duncan, because they overlapped for a time in San Antonio.
More cooperative than anything. I think when Tim came in, Tim is he's a humble guy. And, I always thought I was kind of quiet. And I mean, Tim made me feel like I was loud. but he came in and he was unassuming, and obviously phenomenal. When I first saw him play, I thought, oh my goodness, you're incredible. This is going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I didn't think he was going to be better than me. but I certainly thought he was going to be really good.
I mean, that's cool. It's really cool to hear conversations with David Robinson, but also now the fact that Tim Duncan is retired. I don't know that I'd call him a recluse. I mean, he'll make appearances now and then. You'll see him in San Antonio now and then, but he's one of those guys that was such an unassuming professional athlete. Hated the media part of it, couldn't stand the prying eyes, really didn't want to be famous or have anything to do with the fame that comes with being one of the best in the business. And it was funny to hear David Robinson say he made me look loud, as quiet and as unassuming and as much as he kept to himself, he made me look loud. I mean, think about those two guys and the talent collectively, but also the fact that Greg Popovich and his staff had them both kind of consecutively to be able to keep San Antonio in this incredible groove that it's been in. Now, I know it's different this year, and they're in a bit of a rebuilding process, but everything that happened with Kawhi Leonard, goodness. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up next, some QB news. Thanks for joining us. If it's your Tuesday morning, get it. Time to get back to work. If that's you, I hope that you enjoyed the long holiday weekend. And if you're just completely out of your whatever regular routine.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
With my apologies to the overall number one pick, Joe Burrow, who we will get to here momentarily. I think the biggest quarterback headline of the most recent NFL draft was down farther toward the end of the first round when the Packers traded up to grab Jordan Love. Now, we've heard Aaron Rodgers say he was surprised by it initially, just like everybody else is what he said, but that he still feels confident in his ability to quarterback the Packers, and he should. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I can't imagine that he's going to feel threatened by a rookie. However, we know what happens these days in the NFL. The majority of teams that draft quarterbacks or any other star player, any other rookie in the first round, they expect him to contribute pretty darn quickly. And thus the dilemma for the Green Bay Packers and also the spotlight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What is the Packers offensive coordinator expecting from the rookie Jordan Love right away? Well, he wants him to take notes from Aaron Rodgers. Here's Nathaniel Hackett.
From Jordan's standpoint, you know, being a young quarterback, I think for him it's being a sponge. He's got a great opportunity right now to learn from, you know, one of the greatest to ever play the game. And I think the more that he can learn from him, the more that he can dive into the system. I think it's just so important to just learn and just learn the language and learn the different protection schemes, the pass concepts. And I think that's going to be a huge thing for Jordan.
It's a certain attitude that allows you to take some humility, some humbleness into a situation like this one, and to be a sponge, to learn whatever you can, knowing, of course, that it's still a competition. You still want the job that Aaron Rodgers has, and there's a mentality to it. You don't want to act as though you aren't good enough to start for the Green Bay Packers. You don't want to subvert yourself to whoever the competition, the number one guy is, but you also don't want to create friction, and you have to recognize the job of a backup QB or a backup anything else is to help prepare the starter. Now, you prepare yourself, but you also prepare the starter to be ready for game day. And so, yes, you're learning from the future Hall of Famer and Aaron Rodgers, but if you're Jordan Love, you also have to be ready should your number get called.
Anything can happen at any moment in a game. That's what makes the game so much fun. So I think that you have to prepare everybody like they're a starter and they got to go in there and play. So I think it's about winning. It's about, you know, Aaron Rodgers going out there and winning a football game. And then Jordan's going to just have to continually learn and continue to be a good sponge and get as much information through the system and the game plan that's set for Aaron. But for us, you know, it's about winning that week.
Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. You can be sure that he's going to be answering a lot of questions this year about his quarterback room. Let's see. Moving on to that overall number one pick. Not as though he is an afterthought. Joe Burrow is the start of a brand new era in Cincinnati. And not that long ago, we spoke with one of the best Bengals quarterbacks in their franchise history, in Ken Anderson. He had such incredible praise for Burrow and had reached out to text him and say, hey, I got us to a Super Bowl. Boomer Esiason got us to a Super Bowl. You need to get us there and win a Super Bowl. But welcome to the club, essentially. Carson Palmer, another star quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals, before he went to the Arizona Cardinals, and appearing on Arizona Sports 98.7, Palmer has advice for Burrow with the Bengals.
Just go in and know that it's going to be a rough start from the jump, but setting the tone. Coming off a national championship, coming off all the success he's had, maybe he, you know, his work ethic can come in and create a culture there that there's a certain level of commitment, a certain level of work ethic and expertise and professionalism that he can bring in. And I hope to see that rub off on all the guys around him.
I like what Carson has to say. It's not about Burrow joining a franchise that already has an established culture. It's about Burrow taking in his winning mentality, the edge, what he learned and what he gleaned, what he practiced when he was at LSU as a Heisman Trophy winner, as a guy who set records and helped to lead his team to a national championship. And so you be part of the winning culture. You be part of the rebuilding process, not just for what you do on the field, but what for what you do in the locker room and how you interact with your teammates. Because let's be honest, that rebuilding revolves around Burrow. Also on Arizona Sports 98.7, it was a quarterback carousel. Hall of Famer Kurt Warner Now, he was talking about Joe Burrow, yes, but also looking at the potential of another QB, this one a little closer to home, who was the overall number one draft pick last year in Kyler Murray.
Unbelievably talented. Physically, the way he throws the ball, his playmaking ability, just incredible. And, it, you know, it was fun to watch because, you know, he was one of those guys that we've got a number of those guys in the league now that you don't want to take your eyes off of them because you don't know what's going to happen on any given play because they have that special playmaking ability. You know, on top of that, you know, and I've said this numerous times, I don't think he has any idea how to play the position yet. And that to me is the exciting part.
It's funny. You always hear that from veteran quarterbacks. They don't have any idea what they're doing right now. And yet, with what he had, with the coaching from Cliff Kingsbury, the fact that they came in together and they were kind of a match made in heaven, at least for what they want to do on the field, Murray was great at not turning the ball over. He protected the football, which is something that a lot of rookie quarterbacks don't do. And so kind of cool to think about Joe Burrow as this year's overall number one draft pick. Kyler Murray last year, Baker Mayfield the year before. And let's see, 5 years down the road. You know, it's always interesting to look back and compare their successes as well as their failures. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Russell Wilson was not an overall number one draft pick, but he is now the highest paid quarterback in the NFL at $35 million per year. But remember, he won that job in rookie camp. Well, he won it his first training camp. He wasn't supposed to be the starter, but Pete Carroll settled on him. And as Brian Schottenheimer looks back now, there's been a total evolution to the Seahawks offense thanks to Russ.
We've kind of grown and we've kind of adapted. I think, you know, it's not a big secret that Russell Wilson's an unbelievable deep ball thrower. Again, I've been blessed to be around some great ones, and he's at the top of the list of guys I have. Just that innate ability to add a little bit of air when he needs to, or to kind of, you know, take something off it when he needs to fit a ball in deep down the field. He's terrific at that. And I think after my first year there, we kind of really looked at ourselves and said, hey, look, you know, the one thing you can't teach is size and speed. And so, again, you saw us able to get a combination of both last year with DK in the draft. You saw what he was able to do.
The Russell Wilson instincts are what wow me. They're what blow me away. His instincts are so good. And in the moment, he can adapt, he can adjust, he can extend a play. He can wait until something develops. His timing can be impeccable. I mean, he's just so much fun to watch. And it seems like the more the pressure is amped up, the better Russell Wilson plays. I mean, the fourth quarter, Russell Wilson is just, he's the guy you can't take your eyes off of. So it's cool to hear from Brian Schottenheimer, the Seahawks offensive coordinator, and all of that QB news. Gets me excited about football returning. We're still a couple months away from training camps and when they would normally open up in late July. But the NFL, it's determined to have a season, regardless of fans, no fans, determined to have a season in 2020. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. It's good to have you on board as we move forward past now Memorial Day weekend.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Clock is ticking down. 3-2. Russell takes the snap. Here comes the blitz again. Russell gets rid of it. Back corner of the end zone. It's Jerron Brown. He's in. Touchdown, Seahawks. What a read by Russ.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Steve Rabel, guest on the show multiple times, the voice of the Seattle Seahawks on their radio network. It is that time of the year when I am really jonesing for football. It's been now, my goodness, 3.5 months since the Super Bowl. And I know we've had tons of business conducted. We've had the draft. We've had the schedule release. The first time in my life I've ever watched one of those. We've had plenty of free agent movement. I mean, there's been a lot to chew over, a lot to digest. We would normally be in the middle of OTAs now for various teams across the country, some starting earlier, some starting later. We would have had rookie camps already. But the league does get set to kind of shut down as we get into early June, and they'll take a few – well, they generally take roughly a month off, the league offices. They take their summer break. Teams take a break, at least from – organized activities, and they gear up for training camps that generally start third and fourth week of July, depending on who's playing in the Hall of Fame game. So this is the time of the year that I would be missing football anyway. But the idea that the NFL schedule might in any way be interrupted, even though I think it's unlikely, that idea, that gets me all freaked out, because I cannot imagine a fall without the NFL. Not to mention, I cannot imagine hosting a national radio show without football in the fall. I don't even know what I would do. I would be a disaster, probably. But we're all adjusting to things that are unnatural and are abnormal and atypical for us. And that's what this spring, that's what 2020 has been all about. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Geico introduces the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. It lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. 855-212-4CBS. Brian Schottenheimer, offensive coordinator for the Seahawks. We had him talking about Russell Wilson during our QB news last segment, but I thought it was really funny to hear him talking about how he's adjusting to football virtually.
It's definitely a little bit unusual. Still getting a lot of stuff done, which we're excited about. The Zoom meetings, I'm becoming a Zoom expert. I know how to pin video. I know how to become a co-host and things like that. Certainly things I never knew before.
I'm definitely not becoming a Zoom expert. Is there such a thing? Can you get a Boy Scout or Girl Scout badge for being a Zoom expert? Maybe this spring you can. Maybe the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts are meeting remotely as well, and there is a badge offered for Zoom expert. Oh my gosh. The things that we never thought we would talk about, right? I never thought that I would tell you about how my mom sent me a GoToMeeting. That was my boss. My boss sent me a GoToMeeting invitation a couple weeks ago. Never thought I would say that. But that is not as weird as my mom sending me a Google meeting. Google Meet, I think it is. There's now an app on my phone for Google Meet. It was an invitation from my mom. That's how I discovered Google Meet. Let's see. I never thought I would go through a spring in which I would use Skype, Zoom, GoToMeeting, Google Meet. There's more. WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, and Snapchat as all the ways where I have video conferenced. And there are probably more out there that I haven't used. But those are the ones I have used to talk to family, to talk to friends in the United States, outside the United States, and then, of course, to do work business. I mean, we talk with our heads so much now. 855-212-4227. Melvin is in Alabama. Melvin, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, hello, Amy.
Hello.
I had a college football question for you. I want to know your opinion on, you know, one conference versus another that will play football for the fall. Like, the Pac-12 is kind of like saying that, you know, they're going to bypass football. And the other conferences like the ACC and the SEC saying that they're going to, like, set a deadline and say, well, yay or nay. And I just kind of wanted to know what your opinion on that was.
I hadn't heard that about the Pac-12. The Pac-12 has indicated that it doesn't want to play college football this year?
that's my understanding, that they're kind of just saying, hey, you know, we're going to bypass this year and wait for 2021. From the governor on down to, you know, college presidents and, you know, athletic directors, is how I understand it, that they don't want to play this year.
Huh. I had not heard that. Can you tell me where you heard that or where you saw it?
Well, just local news, local radio that I listen to, just saying that the West Coast is at a more at risk, I guess. And that's why they're not wanting to play.
Well, that's interesting, because the state of Arizona, which has a couple of Pac-12 schools, has already reopened and invited sports to come back. Now, the unique challenge of college football, which we talked about with Barrett Salee earlier in the show, is that if you have school campuses that are not reopened, you can't very well have football. And in most cases, the university presidents and the conferences themselves, they're saying, you know, we're not able, or we're not willing to have football if there's no campus life, if there's no academics that are going on campus. And so, you know, it's a unique challenge. I had not heard that at all about the Pac-12. I do think in most cases, the big time college football programs, especially in the Power Five conferences, football is so much a part of their operating budget that a lot of these schools can't afford to not do everything possible, everything in their power to get football on the field. And so I would think that the Pac-12 as a conference, now the conference commissioner will have a lot of power. The university presence, of course, will be conducted. But I mean, it's really going to be about the conferences and what they do. And if not every school is open within the conference, then it becomes a logistical problem. And you know, how do you hold a season? How do you hold a schedule and put your schedules out there if you don't have every school participating? So there are definitely some landmines and some challenges. But what I do know about college football, again, especially the Power Five conferences, is those teams and those games, they fund a major portion of the university budget. And in many cases, they can't afford to do everything they like to do with all their other sports programs if they don't have football. And so I feel like every conference is going to do everything within its power to make sure football takes place.
Okay. Well, thanks for clearing it up for me. Thanks.
All right, sir. And if I hear anything else, of course, I'll pass it along. But I hadn't heard that about the Pac-12. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Even as Melvin was talking, I Googled it. And while there are challenges, again, I mean, there was no spring football. Right now, you've got various schools in various parts of the country who are reopening their facilities for individual workouts. But it's really on a conference and school by school basis. The challenge, I think the major challenge, again, will be if the school's campus is not open, what do you do about football? Do you still hold sports if you don't have an open campus? Well, that seems unlikely. And what if you have a campus from one of your member schools that isn't open and they're still doing remote learning? Well, then what do you do about all the rest of the football teams in that conference? It's hard to know. Usually, teams begin with non-conference games before they would get to the conference slate. So maybe there are schools that will open delayed, so a little bit later in the fall. But then if the football team hasn't been able to get together and practice, well, there's no way you could compete anyway. Yeah, it's a major dilemma, all kinds of pitfalls and all kinds of obstacles and hurdles and challenges that require so much collaboration. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you missed it earlier, baseball appears to be headed toward a resolution of some sort coming up the end of this week or potentially the weekend. on CBS Sports HQ, longtime Major League Baseball front office executive Jim Bowden was talking about the movement and whether or not Mohammed is going to go to the mountain or the mountain is going to come to Mohammed. He seems to think that there will be compromises, but that the baseball teams themselves, still have the upper hand. Because if players refuse to take any type of other concessions when it comes to salary, then the one trump card that baseball owners have is the number of games. Hey, if you don't want to take any type of a salary reduction or split the revenue, you're going to get paid per game no matter what, like what you've already agreed to. Well, then maybe we won't play 82 games. Maybe we'll only play 60 games, and then you won't get paid for half the games. You'll get paid for a third of the games. It's a dangerous game that they are playing, to be sure. As part of our Twizzler Tuesday question, we're asking you to kind of be hypothetical with us. Is it worth the risk for pro sports leagues in those areas where fans are allowed? Is it worth the risk to let them in to the stadiums and the ballparks and the arenas? And the reason I ask is because there may be places around the country where fans are allowed in limited capacity. But there is a risk that if there's a flare-up, maybe mass gatherings, which of course would lead to the higher potential for a flare-up of the virus, possibly. If there's a flare-up or another outbreak, sports could get shut down a second time. And so do the pro sports leagues want to take that risk that they could put themselves in that position where they have to shut down again? I think if adults have the option, they should be allowed to go if they want to go. They should be allowed to stay home if they don't want to take the risk. No one should force you to go to a game, but maybe the option should be there. Brian McFadden of CBS Sports HQ will join us after the break. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.